are more than just an optional luxury. They are necessary gifts, vital gifts to live a healthy life. Some of them are even lifesaver gifts. How many people, like, all you wanted for Christmas, like me, was new tires? Let me tell you, I drive a Jeep. Tires are expensive. So I was airing my tires every week, and, like, sometimes when it's really cold outside, like, twice a week, and then you'd find out all the broken airing machines all over town. So come on, how many people have been there yet? Okay, just trying to stretch out those tires. And then if you get a travel tire inflator, you're like, yes! Like, you don't, see, Tanner knows. See, we're practical gift people, right? We love those gifts because, trust me, when you've been to, like, three different, like, air inflators, and then you go, you know, all right. So I remember literally praying, like, God, just help me find one that isn't broken right now in York. How about jumper cables? Anyone? Okay, like, I have given my jumper cables to so many other people that I currently don't have them. And then all of a sudden on Monday, I load my entire Jeep up with the last bit of random stuff at Mom's house. I mean, there is not even a room. There's just no room. There's no thing in the passenger seat. You probably can't see out the windows. I know this is dangerous. And it is packed to the brim. And all of a sudden I go to turn my car on and weird sound and nothing. And I try it again. I pray over it. Nothing. And I was like, oh, seriously? And Brad was at work. So, yeah, it was a good time to just sit and read my Bible. God just got my attention. You know, you just need to sit and chill and rest and read the Word. But, you know, those are days when you really were thankful for those jumper cables that Mom gave you for Christmas a couple years ago. road flares. Anyone else? I have road flowers. I got them for Christmas. I love AAA. AAA is fantastic. Once again, I've just, you know, being single for a very long time in my life, I just want to be, we want to be independent. And I love gifts that are practical, that keep me from being stranded in the middle of nowhere for hours on end. You know, you might not be excited when you first open them until it does save your life or gets you to a big event like a wedding or, you know, let's see, what are big events? Your son's graduation. How about you don't miss your flight? So without those gifts, there could be you could miss a life-altering opportunity or something very, very important that you're supposed to do. And you might even end up quitting after you've been waiting for 3 hours for the tow truck to get to you, right? And you just quit. You know what? That really important thing is just not going to happen. So there are vital gifts that everybody kind of blows off that are incredibly important in life. You know, we cannot afford to neglect or devalue certain gifts over others. So every spiritual gift from the Holy Spirit is important and relevant and for today. Every single one. And there's a bunch of them in the Bible. And there's one that a lot of people kind of skip because they think it's just, they're like, oh, that's weird. And I'm like, no, you just haven't seen it done right. And people just make it hyper spiritual. But a very, very practical gift that we're going to talk about today. So Acts 2 verses 17 says this, in the last days, which is now, we've been in the last days for 2,000 years. It's been a long time in the last days. But anytime it says that, that's now. Okay? God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Everybody say all. Raise your hand if you were an all. We all people. That means God doesn't play favorites. That means if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, he's your Lord and Savior, he has gifts for you. And he doesn't play favorites. Every single person has different spiritual gifts. And we actually need all these gifts to be healthy and to be powerful and not be bored in church. How many people, no names, grew up so bored in church that they just stopped going? Yeah. Like, trust me, I work with young people and they're like, listen, I would just fall asleep during church. My parents would yell at me to go to church. I don't want to go to church because I was bored and it just didn't feel real for today. So it's important that we teach the full gospel. This is a full gospel church. That means every scripture in the Bible is for today. Otherwise, you're going to be bored in church. All right. So, you know, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, it says this, let's not all just have a form or an appearance of godliness, but deny his power. That means everybody looks righteous, everybody looks holy, everybody has it all together, they're saying the right words, they're talking the talk, and everybody's falling asleep. Just, come on, going through the motions, you know, is there more to this life? And there is. So a prophecy is just one of the many spiritual gifts. Now, there's the office of the prophet, which we're not going to talk about today. But this is how one of the ways he manifests through people. And today we're going to learn how to flow into a conversation to give a prophetic word of encouragement. How many people besides myself, this was a terrible week for me. The last month, I don't want to exaggerate because there are people that have far worse lives than mine. But it was awful. I had an awful month. And I needed encouragement, and there were people in this church that encouraged me. Heather is so interesting. We talk about like different things. Like Heather is the director of our kids ministry, and so we have to talk over. And I just was vulnerable, and I said, Heather, this horrible thing happened to me, and I don't know if I'm gonna share it. I might, but she was praying for me for the last several weeks, and it meant so much. So even Sherry Reed gave me a really great scripture card today. There are these small things. You know, people think things are just so beyond them. What's the practical ways of encouraging people through the power of scripture and the word of God, which will transform lives? So what is prophecy? Now, like I said, we're not talking about the office. That means like the sticker that, you know, like there's a pastor sticker that speaks to large groups of people. There's prophet that speaks to large groups of people. We're talking about the spiritual gift that everybody has access to, right? And 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, but one who prophesies strengthens, builds up, edifies. That means to build up. How many people have seen people lay brick? They lay that brick after brick, wall after wall. There was a friend I knew that was a stonemason, you know, the craftily building this wall together, okay? So to build people up very strategically. Others speak words of encouragement and comfort them. So to prophesy, just the gift that's available to everyone means to strengthen, to build up others, to speak words of encouragement and comforts. Raise your hand if that's something you can do, that you can build people up, you can encourage them, you can bring comfort. And that's how the Lord wants to speak through you. And we're going to teach you today how to do that in a practical way and to flow into that. And it is so important, especially this time of year. I want to say this also, a prophetic word sees the hidden gold in someone's life, in the midst of the dirt of someone. And how many people know people that have just gone through a really, really hard time, and you go, wow, that really hard time is making you bitter and angry and lashing out and just terrible to be around. How many people besides myself had, yeah, maybe even a holiday like that, okay? And you have to see through God's eyes, and God says, despite how they're acting out, despite the fact that hurting people hurt people, there is gold inside them, and that is not who they are called to be. There is a transformed life hidden on the inside of them that Jesus is going to turn them into. Remember, Saul was a terrible person in the Bible, persecuted Christians. You thought he's all dirt, but inside of Saul was gold that God poured forth and became Paul, the greatest apostle of all time. And you have to see that. Jesus saw that in him, right? Called him out. So the Holy Spirit uses this gift to show the good God things hidden beneath the surface of the dirt in their life. And it reveals treasures and gifts and purposes that Satan does not want them to see. Value inside of them, right? Because people that feel worthless get really ugly to other people, right? So showing value to them, how much Jesus loves and treasures and values them, transforms how they see themselves and then how they even treat other people. You got to dig pretty deep sometimes, even during the holidays. Because this broken world, it's dark sometimes. And God needs to reveal his gold and his love and his joy and his peace. You know, during the holidays, they say it's the most wonderful time of the year, right? And that puts so much pressure on people. Because they go, okay, but my life, this my life is terrible right now, and it's in pain, and it's not the most wonderful thing, and maybe I've buried half my family over the years, and they dread the holidays, and there's all this pressure to have it together. And this is actually, during the holiday season is the greatest time of suicide and depression. And I was absolutely overwhelmed trying to pastor and navigate that with hurting people, because we're very much an outreach church where a lot of our students and young adults go home to families that it's really, really hard. And it makes them question things. And, you know, under that type of pressure to put on the face and smile and laugh, ho, 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 everything's good, they start to lash out, they start to crumble, or even isolate in a really unhealthy way and deal with those thoughts on their own. And that we can't let happen. And you're like, well Pastor Sherry, what do I do? I don't know. I've been hurting myself. Like I said, this last month, I wasn't planning on talking about this, but it was a really hard month. And Pastor Sherry couldn't put on a fake face. And I don't believe in being fake. But it was a really hard month for me. I had suffered a miscarriage over Thanksgiving weekend. And it's in the midst of all this pain and hurt in the midst of our church. And you go through that. And I know there are many people in this congregation that had been through that themselves. And being their pastor through that, I was able to lean into their experience and find strength and healing in that moment. My father's birthday was December 19th, Christmas Sunday. And I lost a dear, dear friend. this week and we lost a congregation member, is a hard time. And what do? You fake smile it and say Merry Christmas to everyone? No. God doesn't want you to be fake and cheesy, but we can pastor past pain in our lives, right? You can love and minister past and through pain in your life by the power of the Holy Spirit, because in our greatest of weaknesses, he is the strongest in our lives. And I will say this, we can't get stuck in that loss. We can't get stuck in our pain, because what happens is Satan will not only take you out of the game, but he will keep you on the bench and he will keep you away from all the people that you are called to minister to, love, and bring peace and healing and restoration to. And you know, I see people that get stuck in their pain and they're just, I hate to say it, they're on the bench for 20, 30 years. Some people, it even changes their personality. They lose themselves in their pain and they become the victim. And I go this, and you know, and I won't, how do I say this? I have to be careful I say this. There is a time to grieve, and we need to let people grieve. Because there's this just goofy Christians that is, you know, just got to shake it off and praise God, they're in heaven now. No, there is a time to grieve, and you need to give people that time. And there is a time to mourn. But you can't stay there. And I'll tell you this, when that season is over, God will give you a ministry to bring peace and healing and restoration to those that have gone through similar things. And that's how I make Satan pay double. And that's how I kick Satan in the teeth for everything he's stolen through my life. We are all called to the ministry of reconciliation. Every single person is called into full-time ministry. You're like, well, Pastor Sherry, I don't work at a church. I don't work at a nonprofit. You are called to full-time ministry. If you're a teacher, you are definitely called to full-time ministry, especially in our public system, right? If you're a nurse, if you're a doctor, if you're a mechanic, if you're an electrician, you are called to full-time ministry, because you know what? You might be the only real deal Christian that walks in the peace of God, that walks into that home and fixes that refrigerator. And you don't know what that housewife or that teenager was going through. And they open up the door and they say, well, here's the fridge. Brad and I are getting our fridge fixed, you know. We had two people come in because we bought a house and then, you know, the dishwasher broke. And I'm just talking to these gentlemen and you're just trying to be a light. You might be the only light they interact with. You are a minister of reconciliation. You get to go places that other people can't go. You get to go places that pastors can't go. Especially right now in the midst of COVID, you might be the only living, breathing minister of Jesus Christ that they see all week. Psalms 81:10. So what do? Psalms 81:10 says, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. But Pastor Sherry, I don't know what to say. Just start talking. Just start talking. The Lord will just start steering a conversation if you give it time and space. And I will say this, in the rushing and the crazy and the busy, 2 weeks ago, I decided, I make my Christmas gifts because there's a lot of love that goes into it and it's very budget friendly. So I decided that we were going to make some gummy bears because all my nieces and nephews, they love gummy bears. Not an easy project. And all over York, I went to 3 stores, including Walmart, which I feel like should count for 10 places because Walmart is terrible. Like you walk in and you're like, oh, I have to shower off the negativity of Walmart. So I go into Walmart and like they don't have this thing called citric acid, which is apparently the holy grail ingredient in all gummy bears. Like you cannot make it without it. And I go in there and at 3 different stores, I can't find it. And I pray a desperate prayer. It's like, just Lord, I just need help finding citric acid. I don't know. It's in the canning section, just in case you want to know. And apparently that got real trendy over the last 2 years. Right, Leslie? Hey, if anybody has any ball jars, Leslie, right there. There's your plug, friend. Right? You need those ball jars. Like the canning jars? Yeah. All right. It's hard to find. So anyway, it's in that section. So I go and I hear Target. I'm like, come on, Target? Like after I've go to all these other places, I went to Wise. Wise has everything. Target. All right, Lord, I'm going to drive out of my way and I'm going to pop into Target and I have no time to do this. And I go into Target and I walk right past this. They have a canning aisle at Target. I was like, okay, walk in. And the whole row where it's labeled citric acid is completely empty. Completely, I'm not a single one. It's like, thanks, Lord, why am I here? Okay. And so, you know, also we know that, like, maybe if you look around, you can look on the top shelf. So I'm like, but there's this lady standing right in front of where I need to look with her giant cart, taking her sweet time, like reading every single label. And I have things to do. And like, I am not a patient person. I am not. I walk fast. I talk fast. I don't drive fast anymore. I have Waze on, which tells you when you're speeding all the time because I'm careful now. No stories in that one. All right, so anyway, I just see this lady, instead of being kind of like, excuse me, I need to like look, and you know, I just kind of waited patiently, and then I just kind of started talking. Got nothing better to do, so I'm just talking, and I was like, oh my goodness. I said, I'm looking for citric acid, and they don't have any. Go figure. This is my third store I've been through. And I was like, wait, don't get into a complaining rant. Not the way to connect with people. I said, but that's okay. I prayed about it, and you know, like, it'll all work out, you know. God's got it or something. I said something not cheesy. Like, this sounds cheesy right now, but whatever I said wasn't cheesy, I promise. Just making conversation, and she moves, and I was like, well, let me just check in this one, the thing next to it. And I stick my hand in, and I go like this in the middle, and I pull out the only jar of citric acid in the middle of this other jars of weird stuff, not a single other one, just stuck my hand and pulled it right out. It's like sticking your hand in fishing, and you'll just pull a fish out. And I went, wow, thank you, Jesus. He answered that prayer. I like, look at this lady. I'm like, do you see this? This is God answering my prayer. That's so cool. I was like, I pray about everything. Bella makes fun of me. Answer, you pray about everything. I was like, I do pray about everything. And I just gave, you know, praise to God. And she goes, you know, the other day I was looking for some medication for some pain, and the same thing happened, and I just found the last one. I was like, isn't that cool how God provides and he perfects the things that concern us? There's a scripture. And then I go, so you have pain in your body. Like, you know, it could have been for someone else. You know, I said, do you have that? You know, an easy in. Not even like, that's not even super spiritual. That's like, duh. Okay. Start a conversation. And she goes, I do. I said, can I pray for you? I promise to not make it weird. And so I scooted my cart next to her cart. And I didn't even put my hand on her because it's, you know, COVID. And I'm not trying to, how do I say this? You don't want to cause people to shut their faith off. So if you press a boundary too quick, they're going to stop getting in faith. So I just want to pray for you. So I just prayed a prayer of faith for healing. She had some body issues. And I got done praying a short faith-filled prayer. And she just had this beaming smile. I said, ma'am, do you know Jesus? And she goes, I do. I said, isn't that incredible how he's our healer and he answers our prayers? Was it? How many people could do something like that? Simple things. And I'll tell you, God is really working me right now of slowing down, Sherry. You need to slow down. I'm exhausted. How many people just been parents? You're exhausted for like 20 years. Yes. Teachers every day. Oh my gosh. Okay. But in that moment, God's saying, rest in me. It says in Hebrews 3 and 4, and definitely we're not going to get through this message, so that's okay. Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. Talks about to labor to enter into his rest. What does that mean? Go back and study it. Check it out in the Amplified. That means I have to work really, really hard to rest into the promises of God. You know that song? There's a song, I will rest in his promises. Faithful he is. You have to rest in his faithfulness. Faithful, Brad will sing it way better than me, so I will spare you. But we have to work hard to rest in his faithfulness and even in his promises, even when you haven't seen the fruit of your prayers yet. But there is also a working really hard to physically rest. And in this season, the Bible, by the way, there's things that God commanded you in the Bible to do that people like want to ignore, like tithing and stuff. They're like, I just tear that page out. Okay. It also says you are to physically rest one day a week and gather together with believers and encourage each other. So that doesn't mean come to church on empty, but I am glad you just came because someone else has come filled to encourage you. With a scripture, Miss Michelle gives the best, like just encouraging prayers and hugs. Like, she tried to teach me piano. One of the most patient people I have ever met in my life. I am impatient, working on it every day, and she reads me so quick. And even today, she's like, "Sherry, can I pray for you?" I said, "Yes, please pray for me." I honestly thought I was grieving the loss of a friend, and you know, sometimes grief comes in waves. Like, you have to be strong in that moment. And then 5 minutes before Christmas dinner at your in-law's house, you break down sobbing like a baby. And your amazing husband pulls off to the side of the road and prays for you and encourages you. You have to rest in that moment. You have to grieve in that moment. And you need people in your life to encourage you and to strengthen you and to comfort you and say, this, what you're going through is valid and I'm here for you. And I may not know exactly what you're going through, but Jesus does. And this is what his word declares, that I've come to heal your broken heart. I have come to heal your relative. I have come to say that COVID was defeated at the cross 2,000 years ago, along with every other plague that wiped out people across the earth. You know, Jesus was attracted to people in the midst of plagues, in the midst of leprosy. He still ministered, and he still did his job, and he was a carpenter. So no matter what we're going through, no matter how busy we are, we have to keep our antenna up. So to keep the switch of faith on, a lot of people turn their faith off as soon as they leave church, as soon as they leave their little Bible study. I have to work on it, okay? And keep their antenna up. You know, God is always talking to you. He's not just talking to you through the microphone of the pastor on Sunday. He's not just talking to you, by the way, number one way he talks to you is through the Word of God. And by the way, if you're not staying filled up on the Word of God, you will sometimes miss him talking to you, because you're just not tuned into what he sounds like, okay? But you got to keep your antenna up to say, God, you're talking to me not just for myself, but for other people. So Matthew 10:19 says, don't worry about what you will say or how you will say it. At that time, you will be given the words to say. What's our job? Open up your mouth. Just start talking. Listen, women are so good at this. Men, if you're like, how do I start a conversation? Just women. I would just come up to you and just blah, 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 blah about my day. I like your shoes. You know, this is what I ate for lunch. Women, we talk about everything. Okay? Men, you're like, I don't know. Just say something your wife would say, you know, but don't be like girly and stuff. Just be like, nice shoes. Yeah. Changed the tire last week. By the way, just start talking. I know. Sorry, men. Listen, I honor you and respect you. And I obviously love men. I married one, and he's incredible and truly probably my better half most days. He keeps me grounded. He's so good. But in laughing, I know some people that hate talking on the phone. But I'll tell you, they will send a text message scripture to you. So in your time of hearing the word of God, just forwarding a scripture of encouragement goes a really, really long way. So we have to use all these gifts that God has given us, right, with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk about this, and like I said, we're probably not even going to get to the woman at the well, so go ahead and read it, and I'll just preach it the next time I preach. All right, so what is the Spirit-filled life? The Spirit-filled life is called not being bored in church. If you are a bored Christian, by the way, bored Christians get into conspiracy theories and like start their YouTube video channel and just go into crazy town. And listen, those are bored Christians, okay? Listen, God has given you all the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That means all the love, the joy, the peace, the comfort, the strength you'll ever need in life to overflow into the world around you. And also all these incredible gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you're bored, that means you need to spend some time in the Word and we go, Holy Spirit, like that word is true, but I'm not seeing it in my life. Help me take risks to give you some space to overflow into the world around me. The Spirit-filled life is a life of more. There is more than just getting saved. That's just fire insurance sometimes. Like people, like, it's so funny. They'll be like, save me. I would like to like say that prayer because I do not want to go to hell, but they live like hell the rest of their lives and they look like nothing like Jesus. But there is a life of more that like looks and smells and talks like Jesus, the fragrance of God. It talks about a sweet aroma. It's not just this poetic thing. It's when I walk into the room, I there's a smell of peace in my life and saturating love. Jerrell is always my favorite example of joy because there's like so much joy and energy in her. Like you get around her and it's like, she has this perfume. If you hug her, you smell like her perfume. And if you spend probably 10 minutes with her, you feel like you can take on the world. You just do. And there's this joy and honestly a supernatural gift of encouragement in her. And I don't even have time I just could preach just her as a great example. So being filled with the Holy Spirit, to be filled and overflowing with the fruits and the gift of the Holy Spirit through others. And it talks about the fruits of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5:23 and the powerful gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Study it out. So it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, Jesus told his disciples as they departed, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, ability, efficiency, and might. And you will be my witnesses for me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. That means you're going to be my witness, you know, in your workplace, you know, in York County, wherever you go, even Walmart, a very dark mission field. You can be a light to the world in Walmart. Okay, that's probably the easiest place because all the hurting people in the world are at Walmart and all the angry, irritated, yelling, screaming in the customer service line people are at Walmart. So please go to Walmart and keep your switch on. Go minister to people. I've done it. Okay, I promise you. I don't have time for stories, but I have a good one maybe next week, 2 weeks from now. All right. So to be filled means to satiate, to supply in excess and overflowing. My amazing husband, can you come up here because I have to hold this. And you're the most coordinated one. And mom loves Brad, like loves him so much that he's not going to yell at him for this. Can you hold this? Okay. All right. So that means, this is people when they come to church and they're like, little dabble do you because they came in empty. And they just kind of come and they come late and they leave early because they're afraid their like beans in their crock pot are going to get mushy. And they get like about this filled. All right, and then their whole family and all the grumpy people at work drink out of their cup because it's not filled and overflowing, and they're just, you know, and everybody else drinks out of the cup. Like, you can do that. There is something in there. Yeah. Probably left over from the flood, which is where I got the pitcher, so it was disgusting. By the way, the whole church flooded the week of my wedding. It was awesome. You love me so much. Okay, so, and how many people have kids, and all your kids drink out of your cup all week long? And so I think you're probably just on empty by, Monday at 5? And then you got to come home, you know? All right. So the spirit-filled life is, by the way, your job is to not just come and get a little dabble do you on Sunday morning. Your job is to spend some time with the Lord in his word. And listen, if you're really busy, I tell everybody, get Bible.is does the audio Bible in any translation you want. They even have dramatic ones that sound like movies. And you just get filled up in God's word until you get to this overflow point. And then, oh, look, careful. Okay, don't tell mom. She's probably watching online. Mom, I love you. Just a little bit. Little dribble. Gross. All right. So you get to this point of overflowing. And I had a funny joke, and I just lost it because I'm, going to totally get it from mom later about the new carpet. All right. Saturated and overflowing into the people around you. And so our job, thank you, Lord, is to get into the word and fill up on his word and worship. Do you know worship is just not a slow song or even a fast clapping song on Sunday morning? Did you know you can worship God and not even sing? You can drive in your car back in lawnmower season. You could just lawnmow and, God, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for my kids. Lord, thank you. You got my kid into college. I was just hoping they'd graduate high school. I don't know how you did this. Miracle. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? You know, just thank God. God, thank you. We are in good health. Thank you, Lord. Just praising him and thanking God, you are so big. Jesus, we love you. You are master. You are king. You are Lord of my life. This week I was just declaring, he is my rock. God, you are my rock. You are my strength. I lean on you. All right. So there is this overflowing, and I won't do it anymore, I promise. Okay. The Holy Spirit-filled life is to supply, overflow, and excess to the world around you, wherever you go. I'm going to be really careful. Okay. Don't tell mom. Okay, so it's running out. So basically, wherever you go, people get wet around you. Listen, have you ever been in a car with someone with, this is a kid thing. The kid brings the cup in the car without the sippy lid. The whole point of a sippy cup is a sippy lid. Why do kids drink out of cups without lids on? Why do adults go driving in cups without lids on, like me and my coffee? Dad and I drive with open coffee. And so you hit the bumps, and where does your coffee go? To the people around you. Thank you, love of my life. Thank you, I appreciate you. Okay. Actually, do you want to grab that pitcher? You got it. Yep. We're a power team. Thank you. All right. Thanks, love. All right. All clapping for my amazing husband. Yes. He's fantastic. Oh, he's literally taking it so I can't use my analogy again. Okay. It's because he loves my mom. All right. That's good. All right. Yeah. Okay. Cool. We're done. I promise. All right. Holy Spirit fills you up and supplies you in excess. He fills every nook and cranny of your life you allow. But I'll tell you this, when you are in a hurting, broken place, or just really stressed out, or you have children, and everyone's pulling on you, Everyone's pulling on you to solve. Dads, you are like the superheroes of the family. Like, you have to solve everyone's problems and put your cape on. Even when you got yelled at work and a customer just screamed at you and it wasn't even your fault and you still had to own it and apologize. I worked customer service for 6.5 years. It makes you a better person, okay? And you have to, so what do you do when you feel on empty? Because if I had my cup up here and I'd squeeze it, when the pressure of life comes, whatever's in you comes out. So if you're not filled and overflowing, and even I've been there, our words are a little different. And I had those not good words at this time this week, okay? Confession, all right? And so the pressures of life will squeeze things out of you. And under pressure, we leak. And you need to keep getting refilled with his word, in his presence, with the Holy Spirit. So what do you do when you feel like you're on empty and the world around you, your family, your coworkers, needs the living, breathing Jesus, and you got nothing to give? I can't tell you how many times where I was like, I have to minister and I'm on empty because I spent all day counseling people that are considering suicide or lost a loved one, and I'm just giving and giving and giving. I got nothing. And I just like just try to scramble and get in the word before I have to like lead young adults group. And I was like, Emily, like pray for me. Like I had things that have happened to me right before I had to minister, you know? So 1 Timothy 4:14 and 2 Timothy 1:6 says this: do not neglect the gift inside you, right? Do not neglect these gifts inside you. I would remind you to stir up, to rekindle the embers, to fan the flame, to keep this flame burning, the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by the laying on of hands. So I grew up hunting. I'm terrible at fishing. I talk too much. I was actually terrible at hunting. I'm terrible at everything you can't talk at, just generally speaking. Like, if talking were an athletic event, I would probably be awesome and make the all-star playoffs. But it is not. Most events that are, like, competitive involve you not talking and focusing while doing multiple things at the same time, all things I am terrible at. Okay, so What do you do? Okay, so back to camping. So I grew up camping, believe it or not, which is why I don't do it anymore. Because, like, why would I pay a lot of money to be terribly inconvenienced, uncomfortable, have to go to the chiropractor and eat bad food all week long? I don't get it. But I support you. Grew up doing it. Like, sleeping not even on the mat. Like, you know when you're a kid, like, kids are invincible. You sleep on the floor. Just straight up around the dirt with a rock up your back. And I'm having fun because camping is awesome. Tell all your friends about it. All right, so back to the campfire. So you build this big campfire. And everybody's, like, singing their, like, songs and, like, you know, roasting stuff. And they go to bed. And it's just, like, ashes the next day. And how many people feel after going to work? All I got is ashes. Well, good thing the Bible says in Isaiah 61, he will make beauty from ashes. But you have a job to do. Because what do? Your job is to go stir the embers and rekindle the flame. Because the hot embers are in there. Holy Spirit doesn't leave you just when life gets hard. Just because you don't feel really powerful doesn't mean he leaves you. You have to do your side, which is reconnecting with him. By the way, why is it great for someone to put your hand on their shoulder and pray for you? Because they got a fire inside them, a fire shot up in their bones. It talks about in Jeremiah, an overflowing fire if we're doing our job. Our job is to stay full and overflowing, so when we run into people that are on empty, we got something to give. And if not, his grace will come in. If you're two people on empty, guess what happens? You put your hand on someone's shoulder, or you just call up the phone and you start praying, and you start stirring yourself up in the Holy Spirit. So it says this, he says, stir yourself up, rekindle the embers of the fan, the flame, keep burning the gracious gift of God. It is not an instant thing. I mean, let's be honest. So we remember camping. Nothing is easy in camping. That's why people do it for fun. Okay, so you have a big roaring fire, which you work really hard to build a big, all the dads out here, come on, dads that have done the campfire, okay? Yeah, big roaring fire, and you spend an hour trying to find firewood, which doesn't exist apparently because everything's attached to a tree because everybody else got the firewood. Yes, I have grown up doing this, okay? And then you build this thing up, and then everybody goes to sleep. Yay, we're camping, we wake up. Mom, I want breakfast. Dad, you're on fire. All right, so you go back and you go, it's just ashes, a little smoke. All right, so I got to go dig up the embers. Fan the flame, put the kindling on it, okay? Then I got to put the little sticks, and then I got to put the big sticks, and then I finally get a log, and it takes some time to stir yourself up and get the raging fire again. You need to take time. And this is why the Lord's been talking to me, Sherry, you need to slow down. I'm on fumes, like the little bit of like the smoke, little smoke. And God's like, you need to get back to the roaring fire so it'll help other people around you. And it is so much, if you're on the flame making duty dads, it's really great when you have a kid or two to kind of help you. Number one, it's way more fun with some company. Number two, it's nice to get some other people blowing on the flame. Okay, we have a job to do. You have to choose to stir yourself up. And I remember turning to Brad going, I, in this moment, I am choosing joy, not to be cheesy, but I am choosing the joy knowing that Jesus is my Savior and my healer, and I have peace and rest in him. And I'll tell you, to sleep through the night is the greatest gift of all. And I went, Lord God, thank you. I choose joy because I have a peace despite all circumstances. Despite loss and brokenness and pain, I have you, and you're the healer of my heart, and I rest in you. And I'm going to go to sleep tonight, not tormented. I choose the joy knowing I have you, and you must fan those flames. Sometimes I'll just listen to Bible app over and over again. When I went through some physical things a month ago, I just played Isaiah 53 over and over and over again. Just kept playing it over and over and over again as your body's doing all these things that don't match up to what you're in faith about, but I know my God is bigger. Our God is bigger. I'm going to leave you on this note, and I got to page 3, so I guess we're doing a series. We must choose to stir ourselves up by faith because the broken, hurting world around you needs it. And if you think you're the worst one out there, there is always probably a million other people in the world that have probably gone through something worse than you. I am not invalidating what you've been through. There is a time to mourn. There is a time to grieve. What you went through was terrible. But kick Satan in the teeth and say, I will use this to stand on, to bring healing and encouragement, and at least say to someone else, you are not alone. And I'll kick Satan in the teeth for what he did to me. It is a choice. Ephesians 5:18 says, to be being, actually the original Greek translates in English was hard, but you know, there's a way of saying it. To be being filled constantly and continually with the Holy Spirit. Be being. That means it is our job to reconnect with him every single day and get some kindling. Stir the flame up. Add scripture to it. Add his promises. The Bible says to recall the goodness and faithfulness of God. You're like, God, I am not seeing your goodness and faithfulness. Well, you might need to dig 10 years back. Or you might need to remember what God did in your friend because he doesn't play favorites. And if he did it for your friend, he's going to do it for you too. Amen? So on that note, it's 12. We're going to stand up. Babe, do you mind? Here we go. We got a little piano here. All right. We're just going to stand up. And we're just going to pray. Unless there's a song that comes to mind. I'll leave that to you. All right. Father God and Jesus. Guys, we can worship him without song. I'm married to an incredible worship leader. But let's practice worshiping him without the crutch. Right? So, Lord God, I just thank you. And you can give us a little background music because, you know, some people are like, oh, my voice. That's okay. We're just going to talk to him. If you want to sing to him, you can, but we're just going to talk to him. Lord God, we just love you. Just tell Jesus how much you love him. Jesus, we love you. Just repeat it over and over again. I love you, Jesus. And just recall his goodness, his faithfulness. Recall some answered prayers. If you can't think right now because you might be a little stuck in some pain, and that's okay. There's a time for it. Recall the goodness and faithfulness of other people's lives. And if you don't know of anyone else, you need to get a little more connected to some people around you today. But Lord God, we thank you. You are faithful. And we shared a testimony today. Lord God, you healed Emily's brother, Ryan. And if you did it for him, you're going to do that for me. And you're going to do that for my relative because you are good. And you are faithful, and we love you. And, you know, just start out being thankful for things. God, thank you. We could afford a Christmas dinner. Everything that we have is yours. Everything we have is yours. Lord, I thank you for that new account that you gave to me from work. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for that new job. And if you don't have that new job yet, we're going to praise him and thank him because it fuels the delivery system, right? Our faith. Lord, we thank you. And then you just go from thankfulness to just a place of like 100% fix your eyes on Jesus. Jesus, you are so good. God, you are wonderful. You are magnificent. You are worthy of all praise. You are our rock, our fortress, our stronghold, the God in whom we trust. And when we put our trust in you, we will not be put to shame. We will not be disappointed. Jesus, you are the healer. You are the maker of heaven and earth. You are Lord. You are majestic. And you are worthy of our praise. And we choose to stir ourselves up. And we choose to fill up on your peace, your love, your joy, your goodness, so we can overflow to the people around us. In the name of Jesus, we love you. Amen. So I would like to challenge you today. Please don't leave church, number one, until you maybe get some contact information. You're like, I don't give out my phone number. It's social media. I don't do social media. I don't know. You could do snail mail, like 50-cent stamp. And get someone's information, and I want you to pray for them this week. And I want to challenge you, as you're reading the word or listening to the word, to hear a scripture that stands out and you go, that's for so-and-so. And I want you to be an encouragement for them. And you can just shoot them a text. You can call them, leave one on their voicemail. You can snail mail it in a Hallmark card. You can get a dollar card. I'm like cheap. I go to like Dollar General. Okay. And you can just mail that to them and be an encouragement to them. Stir yourself up, right? Because we have a job to do. All right. Well, we love you. You are blessed. Maybe go to lunch with someone. Could be fun. Make friends. All right. We love you guys so much. Next week is Bob and Mary Holland. And Merry Christmas.